Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We want to welcome everybody to the post-Christmas relaxation period. We got the first of the holidays out the way. Thank God for another day of being here, making it through another year of post-holiday tradition. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Morris Rights LLC. Those of you who were here heard our sponsor on our panel on the last broadcast, Mr. Hakeem Bey, and we're very happy that he has stepped to the plate and offered some support. Giving out our shout-outs today to Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York City, currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Barry do his musical thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York City with the best of R&B events as the Track One Entertainment Company CEO. Ladies and gentlemen, Track One has officially announced their date for the 2014 So You Think You Can Sing competition. It is going to be on, I believe, February 11th of 2014. You can contact Barry Mason if you are an aspiring singer trying to get your feet wet in the industry and becoming a contestant on this event at Track the number one entertain at gmail.com, or you can hit up Barry Mason on Facebook with your name and your phone number, and he will let you know what you need to do next. Don't miss it, because you know whatever Barry puts out there is magic and it always delivers. So once again, the 2014 So You Think You Can Sing competition is going to be held on February 11th, 2014, and you can hit him up on Facebook or at Track the number one entertain at gmail.com. To my wonderful team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, rapidly recovering but still sick in the wings. Hopefully she might be able to stop by this evening. To Monster Miles out there taking care of business there. To DJ Domrek, Rodney Williams, dealing with some family crisis. We got our prayers out for you, and you know, hopefully everything will be okay and you can get back here, because we're waiting for you, man. And of course, last but not least, you guys all know that special activist out there and a wonderful addition to our panel on a nightly basis, Deacon Zeddy Williams. Thank you, Deacon, for all that you do when you're out there and when you're on here. So I thank you for that. I want to say hopefully all of you had a great holiday. So today, everybody, we are going to be dealing with a subject that is a book straight out of our Relationship Chronicles on this segment. And it is entitled tonight, Open Relationships, Is This a Backdoor Exit from Commitment? Now, the spin on it is this. When people say open relationships, or when they're involved with swinging, is it really a relationship? Is it really something that can be held to the rules of a standard, traditional, committed relationship? Isn't the idea of relationships to mean exclusivity and commitment to one person? That is what is on the table tonight. And what are your thoughts on that? Is it a yes or is it a no in your opinion? So, in the spirit holiday, we're going to continue on with our Christmas songs, and this one is from Band-Aid. It's called Do They Know It's Christmas? In a word from our sponsors, we will get this show started. All right? Be back in 4 minutes.
Christmas time, there's no need to be afraid.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, tonight's episode is entitled Open Door, Open Relationships. This is the backdoor exit to commitment. Now, or from commitment. That's the word. Sorry about that. Now, we were all having a pre-broadcast conversation today, and, you know, the majority of people believe that it's not a real relationship. That's the question. Meaning, not that it's not a relationship between two people, but however, when the idea of relationship comes up, it usually means that, you know, two people have decided to make an exclusive mutual commitment to each other, which means that anybody going outside of that relationship, it will be considered cheating. Now, we all know what open relationships mean, and I'm quite sure I'm going to get quite a few people who are out there that like to just play the field and do whatever it is they want to do and still have that, I guess, the benefits of mutual relationship without the commitment of it. And that's my take on it. I don't feel that an open relationship is an actual relationship, because pretty much if it's a relationship, you are making the decision to be exclusive. And if you want to have other people in the relationship, you might as well just be single and have sex. Pretty much that's what it is. A lot of people like the term open relationship because they don't want to be involved with commitment. They don't want the hassle of going into, you know, the live-in situation or getting married or doing whatever comes with what relationship usually means, outside of it meaning blood relationship, of course. And swinging is another thing. You pretty much just swap in partners. And I don't see how there's a big difference between that and either cheating or just being open and having a single relationship. So we do have one panelist that's ready to talk, so let's bring them in and begin. Welcome to the show, Corley. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie. How's it going?
Hey, Rod. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
All right. So Your take on an open relationship, is it a true relationship, or is it just like a consensual form of cheating and infidelity, or, you know, is it something that truly works for people, and can it be held to the same standards as a committed relationship? Your take.
Well, I'd say no, because the very word relationship involves you know, being committed, trust, honesty, and all that other good stuff. But once you open the door to those other people and say open relationship, it's like a contradictory of terms. I'd like to think that when I'm sharing my eggnog with the one thing I have to worry about is pregnancy. You know, nobody popping up with a gun. No, I love you. Like, who's he? You know, nothing like that. No strange diseases.
Right. That gets you. I mean, I feel the same way because, look, it's like this. You go through your life dating, and dating is pretty much you're open to the field. You know, you're picking and choosing who you want to date to try to eventually find that one. And to me, there's a lot of things involved with saying open relationship. First of all, it's like you're cheating both sides of the fence. You can't not want commitment but yet want the benefits of having a committed relationship. I brought up this topic because I watched an episode of Divorce Court, okay? And Divorce Court has this couple there where the woman said that they're swingers and that she introduced her husband to the lifestyle because she likes women, okay? And she brought him in, and with all of that being done, I mean, they tried to sweeten it up by saying it's different because we pick the people. It's different because it's what we say. To me, that's like, listen, pimp me out as long as you're there to approve the John. I mean, that's how I feel about it. If you are going to have sexual relations in the dating game, then be dating. Don't say you're in a relationship because it's not. There's a whole lot of things and work and commitment that goes to a relationship. It's exclusivity. That's what people build up to. So you can go back and say, I used to be this person. I see you there, Paula. Just give me a minute. I used to be this person. I used to run with the best of them. And if you're still bringing other people into your bedroom, and you're still bringing other people in. I don't care if you are saying that if we're doing it as a couple, it's a thing, but if you do it on your own, it's cheating. It's cheating either way you look at it. It's just that you're doing it in an open setting. Why not just remain open and dating? Why stay relationship? Why try to put something on it?
Yeah, just remain single. I'm sure there's a lot of single women and guys out there that if you step to them and say, hey, I enjoy your company, but I don't want to be in a relationship with you. But I would still like to be with you, you know, from time to time, like, you know, 4 or 5 times a month. Is that all right? And they'll say, oh, yeah, that'll be fine. And they say,
you know,
but you're not putting any limits on them? But I think they would go for that. Some people would, and some people would say, well, I'm in a relationship, and I'm only with you just to get a break from, you know, my normal bacon and eggs. You know, I like to mix it up every now and then, have some pancakes and sausage, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so now let me ask you a question before I bring our second panelist in. Do you think that they have the right to be upset if that partner of theirs sleeps around or deals with another person? Do they have a right to be upset if the person they brought into the relationship is somebody that their partner eventually like has more preference for?
Really, no, definitely not, because it's one of those things that doesn't have boundaries to begin with. You can't say relationship between two people and then bring one or more people in it and then say commitment. You can't.
There's so many things.
It becomes an arrangement.
Exactly. And that's my thing. The parameters of a relationship means exclusive. You're going to be with that person. You've done the dating thing, and this is the person that you're settling down with or you want to settle down with. How can you possibly put a boundary on an unbound parameter? I don't get it. Let's bring in our other panelists. Just give me a second. Welcome to the show, Carly. Are you on the air?
Good evening, Lady K. How are you? How's the panel doing?
And
a blessed holiday to everybody.
Panel has lots of spiked eggnog left.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
You better watch that one, Deacon. That might work in tonight's segment.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Deacon, give me your spin on what you feel about tonight's topic.
It's hilarious. It's not a relationship, period. Not in my book. I don't know about anybody else's, but it's just open is open, and the word relationship means a whole lot of other stuff. So if you, those are just what you might call, if I may be a little forward. You're just F buddies. And that's all it amounts to. You know, and it doesn't go any further than that. And I heard you say something about, does the other person have the right to get upset if they decide to drift off and float off with somebody else? No, they don't. Because you are already agreed to being open. And I'm not going to call a relationship because it's not.
To me, it's just dating. You just have some, it's like, you know, quote, end quote, it's like having your main bitch or your main, you know, Venus there. I mean, I'll do everybody else, but he's the top. Or I'll do everybody else, but she's the one. Well, how is that a relationship? I see you, caller. I'll bring you in just a minute. How is that a relationship? If you, like I said, everybody understands, if relationship didn't mean exclusivity, those guys and women that like to play the field wouldn't be so hot-headed about being called a relationship or being said the word relationship when those two people are talking, because relationship constitutes the understanding that this is I'm tied into you. You're the one,
okay,
I'm going to be with. Everybody else,
okay,
is also.
You're saying relationship, okay, is this relationship, does commitment fit in there anywhere?
That's what I was seeing in this particular case on divorce court, what prompted tonight's good topic. Because this is the thing. She called it cheating because he was on the internet flirting with other women, and he's a DJ that goes to, you know, overnight or whatever the case is. And she calls it cheating. They've been together 15 years, and they've been open relationship with these people. There are so many risks to that. First of all, that other person might like the way it feels in this woman, or she might like the way the other guy is better than the man she's with or better than the woman he's with. You know, you open yourself up to these things, and obviously you don't have that much loyalty and invested in that one person to want that person to be y'all. It's like bringing in a threesome, even in a committed relationship, all right? There's always the odds that person will keep that other person's phone number and wind up having some outside connections without you. You know, you don't know that.
Right.
And you set yourself up and remove your rights, in my opinion, from being able to say, I don't like what you're doing. How could you be exclusive in the relationship if it's an open relationship? How can you say open and relationship in the same sentence? Let me bring this panelist.
Emotions are a very slippery slope.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Yes. Just.
Who am I speaking with?
Hold on.
Okay, I didn't hear you.
Yes, this is Stalo.
Oh, hi, Stalo.
Hey.
All right.
Hey, what's up, Stalo?
AKA
right,
Carlos Stalo. Andrew Ellaby Jones. How are you doing?
All right. And all that good stuff.
Okay.
All that good stuff.
Stalo, tell me, what's your deal on tonight's topic?
Well, it's a very interesting topic, very relevant too. It's good, but okay. As for this, I think, and I'm open with saying this. I think that oftentimes we make a mistake of trying to, you know, and I mean humans, people, you know, in our romantic relationships and otherwise, we often try to change imaginary external circumstances just to avoid confronting the internal circumstances that are really the problem, or if there is a problem. And what I mean by that is, like, okay, at the same, in all reality, you know, I feel like the concept of the open relationship is just a new concept, but it's a manifestation of a lot of, you know, sexual addiction we have out here, okay? You know, just to be blunt, we're sexually addicted. We are first exposed to sex through a paraphilic situation, that's pornography. Okay, that's not normal per se. That's not human nature. That's just the society we are in right now. All right, we don't get into sex in a healthy way right now. And a lot of times we don't manifest. See, we might equate relationship with sex. There might be some of us that are not satiated or satisfied with one person, you know. And I think that is a manifestation of a deeper rooted more problematic thing than just a normal some people are this way, some people are that way type thing. Because sometimes, okay, like you said, somebody that I know told me you just said it as well, and somebody else just told me as well that there was a woman that wanted to have an open relationship because she liked women. Okay, that's a manifestation. She's gay. She likes women and men, but she's in a relationship with a man, and there's something else internally that isn't satiated. That she then, once they change the external circumstances of the relationship to meet that. However, if you want to commit to one person, and I tell you how I feel, if I'm feel fully committed or just compatible with a person, I feel as though, you know, sexually compatible, I'm not going to get tired of them necessarily. These things don't have to happen, but this is how people just, the normalcy of how people talk about things. And it's kind of like, okay, she was gay, right? The woman we was just speaking of. Then I got the males that I know that might, you know, be rooting for open relationships all day, but I know a lot of them, they hypersex. They can't even be satiated. Now, and I think that's on the same level as being, to an extent, gay. To an extent, you see what I mean? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like not that anything is wrong, period. But just the fact that, you know, there is a portion of you governed only by sexuality that, you know, you may be overwhelmed in at some point or something or whatever, you know. But that's what I'm saying. So why external? Okay, why make an open relationship if you want to be with one person, like everyone else is saying, if you want to be with one person? But if you don't, I like what you said, Katie, about honesty and everything. That's the most important thing. So if you need an open relationship, but be honest about why as well.
Right.
If you're not honest about
why. Why be in a relationship? Why look for relationships? If you don't want to do the work and the commitment and abide by the rules of what a relationship is, I just got a response that said, when two people agree on something and that's the way it is, whether it's open or whatever, then that's an arrangement. That's not a damn relationship. That's an arrangement. It's like a business contract. Hey, I do you, you do me, we do other people, then we do each other. You know, that's an arrangement. A relationship is work. A relationship is a future commitment. A relationship is long term. A relationship is I'm willing to share half of my life with half of your life, and we'll put our two halves together to make a whole. If you don't want to be with one person, then make that the terms of the way that you do it. A lot of times people are so afraid that if they say it the right way or say it honestly, they won't get what they're looking for. You never know. There are so many people out there that as much as they might be taken aback by the approach at first, there might be something about you that they want regardless of what happens. It usually gets them in trouble later because they feel they can change it, or if they do enough of something that eventually that person will change their way of thinking. But even so, at least come to the table with all that you're really working with. Don't say relationship. Don't talk sweetness. Don't do all this stuff if you know damn well you're not trying to put the work in. And to me, it's unfair. It's unfair to say, I like what you have to offer, and I want to claim, take a claim on it. So as much as I'll agree that you can go out there and do this and that, you have to do it with me. But doing it without me means I don't get a piece of the action. And it's not right. It's not right. It's like my man telling me, I want you to be pimped out, but I want to control the pimping. Okay? I want to screw anybody around you, but as long as you're there and we put a mask on it, or we'll put a name on it, and we call it a couple activity.
Oh, hell no.
Okay? And frankly, I don't share nothing in that respect. Okay? I don't share nothing in that respect. Call me old fashioned, call me nerdy, call me traditional, unhip, outdated. I don't give a flying out. Okay?
Not anything that's gravel.
If you're going like that, there's some type of how can I put this? Some kind of way that on both sides that you're feeling inadequate in some kind of way, so you feel like you have to be in a position like that. That's the way I look at it.
And you know what? Also,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to apologize.
Go ahead. No problem.
But I was saying that also, it's funny because I was just thinking that people don't even know they might be walking into a setup if they're not ready for it. You understand what I mean?
Right.
Because it's funny because once you establish that you are supposedly in a quote-unquote open relationship, then there's no distinction between did you just blatantly cheat like fuck you? Did you get weak because you was drunk? Were you weak because of a situation in life we was going through? Was you doing it for money? Is you showing me something else about your other character? But guess what? You don't have to disclose any of that information because it's an open relationship. Now, all of a sudden, you've taken, and funny thing, you think you've added trust, but you've taken it away. If that's
right.
If that's the type of relationship you want, you might want to be pimp. That's cool. You know? Hey, but
it's like trying to have the best of both worlds. You don't want to be in a committed relationship, but you want the benefits of what it means to have a wife or a husband or a living person or an exclusive person. You want to be able to still be single and do what you used to do, but you want to have the benefit of that main squeeze or that main whatever. You know, you want to be jealous when the person is out there doing X, Y, and Z, but you don't want that person to be jealous when you're doing it. There's no way you could say, in my opinion, like I said, my viewpoint, there's no way you can say we're in a relationship, but it's an open one. That's like saying I'm half shot.
What'd you say?
There's a bullet in me and I'm bleeding, but I'm not really shot. I mean, what? That's like an abuser saying, I want to kick your ass, but, you know, nobody else can do it unless I say so.
That's control.
Isn't that what this is? Isn't that what this is? Controlling their rights to have bits and pieces of all the cakes in the world and still have the main cake or be able to eat all the dessert they want but not really touch the dessert they have? I can't see my husband telling me, baby, I love you, but, you know, let's sleep around or let other men put themselves up in you. I can't see me saying, baby, I love you, and bring a woman in front of me so I can watch his body part go up in hers. I don't think so. And then to make weekly arrangements for it, you know? And then I got another response. Who gives anybody the right to determine what a relationship is? From the beginning of time, relationships have meant just that. It means relations, connecting, putting together.
Right.
Okay? Linked up somehow. If you want to link up, if you want to link up, it's called a relationship. It means exclusivity. It means you're building up to a future. It means you and that person.
Yeah.
Okay.
It means connection, a kinship. You know, that's what it is—a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not getting that if you're talking about you in an open position like that. It's so far away from what it's supposed to be.
Honesty, trust, that's
right.
Just like marriage.
Yeah.
So you can't have an open marriage.
Some people do, but I don't see how they can call that a marriage. You shouldn't have even took the vows if that's the route you're going to go.
Mm-hmm. You need a separation if you want an open marriage.
Right. You see me when I see you, and I'll see you when I see you.
Mm-hmm. So down the line, you get the new person, you'll stop messing with each other.
Right.
And it becomes two, one-on-one again.
Mm-hmm. And it's like I said, you know, you never know when you might meet that one person where the emotions really take over. Like I said before, emotions are a real slippery slope. You have to be careful when you're playing with people's emotions.
Yep.
Well, I was saying, I was thinking, like I said, it's like trying to have the best of both worlds. It's like a married man still wanting to fool around. And then on top of that, most of the open relationships that are supposed to be with this exclusive, only when we say go, do we do it. These people are still going and having non-monogamous relationships anyway. Okay, they're not exclusive to the arrangement even made upon themselves. One of the things that happened in this particular case was the judge said the same thing. It seems to me like you have open access to all sorts of women, all have opportunities for sex, and yet and still, it's not enough. And why should it be? There was a question that Professor Carl Tone Jones had asked with regards to celebrities giving back. The question that he posed was, why should they do anything if nobody is demanding it? Why should a woman accept an open relationship and then expect that somebody's going to marry her? Why should a man do the same? If you are going to go with whatever your flesh wants to do because that person looks good or gets you hot or does whatever, and you really know that deep down inside you want a commitment or committed relationship, why accept something? Why put yourself down and accept it and then have a problem with it later? What could lead to that? I mean, what could come from that, honestly? What on earth could come from that? How healthy could it be if you are in a relationship, quote, end quote, with an open-door policy? Why not just be free? Swing. Like they say, go swing it. Only swing your own way. I can't see myself being swapped out in front of my husband or my man or whatever it is, and being able to have that man's wife screw my husband and vice versa.
Doesn't that sound similar to like a pack of dogs?
Yes. Yes.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. Drop your litter by the side of the road. Keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Why do that? Why seek out a relationship if you are addicted or you are not settled or you're never happy or you haven't addressed any issues you may have with fear of commitment? Why do any of that? That is trying to have the best of both worlds. You want to be able to tell everybody that you have a main squeeze back at the home?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. I just got asked if I have something against bisexual people.
What?
Yeah, because of my question and my viewpoint on it.
I guess you got to have one of each if you're bisexual, huh? Jeez. That's another dimension right there, right?
Yeah.
I got asked because of the fact that this person apparently is one of those people that probably does have an open relationship. Many people that gave me a hard time are usually people that are trying to play the field and like their life the way it is. By all means, if you like your life that way, don't stay in a relationship. Don't pick somebody out to be in a relationship. And there are quite a few people, and I'm expecting a particular caller because every time we have these topics, that's what I hear from them. But, it's about committing. It's about being with that person. It's about finding enough loyalty and respect and investment in that one person to say that you have reached relationship status to me. This has absolutely nothing to do with whether you're a bisexual, a homosexual, a trisexual. I really don't care. The point is, if you choose somebody to be your long-term committed partner and you call it a damn relationship, it should be a relationship. You are bound by the rules of any other relationship, in my opinion, that relationship means. It has nothing to do with your orientation. That's between you and yourself. Who you choose to be with, I don't care. If you decided to marry a horse and you told the horse that you're in a relationship, why are you cheating with the pig then?
But for everybody, they might have different stipulations, I mean, in their relationship. But at the same time, we can shed some light on the value of such relationships. Like my man said, dogs operate the same way. I mean, some people don't really separate beast from man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that's like teetering that line. So hey, if they want to teeter the line, I'm a man, human.
Yeah, there you go.
It's about the commitment aspect of it, the respect to the relationship. And relationship means just that. You have linked up with one person. Other than that, it's not a relationship. It is an open dating scene. Just that you have one person that may be the main person that's cooking and cleaning and having your babies and doing whatever. Why call it a relationship if you are not committed to or willing to go through the steps and work and commitment that it takes that relationship? That's what I'm saying. And once again, to those of you asking me that question out there in the big wide world of chats, I have absolutely nothing against anybody's orientation. This is about the respect to your partner, period.
Right. And then, you know, even if, you know, there are some people that, you know, if that's your culture to be with one person, but if your culture is to be with several people, then also stand by the higher laws of that as well. You know, because if you don't, you know, we reduce down to the level of beasts.
Right. And you're supposed to be high above those beasts. Because you're supposed to have dominion over them, but when you're stooping to be just as low as them, what is that saying about yourself?
Gentlemen, I have another caller on the panel. Let me bring them in. Hold on. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you? I was just listening to the show, and it's interesting, very, very interesting. I just would like you to challenge some of the belief systems that you guys are espousing. I think you are kind of redefining relationships, I guess, to fit your very narrow narrative with respect to maybe pseudo Judeo-Christian values. In Africa, black people had the men had many, many wives, and as a matter of fact, his value was basically equated with how many, you know, wives he had. And if you look up what relationships are in any dictionary, it's the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected. So it's very possible and plausible that people can, you know, have, you know, these other kinds of relationships with other people that are sexual and still be committed to someone on a more emotional level.
I get that. He likes one more than the other. She likes one more than the other. And I still go back to the fact that in that respect, keep it open. Keep it open and don't call it a relationship. A relationship is exclusive. And like I said, this is my viewpoint. And you're very welcome to come on the show, like you said, and have an opposing viewpoint. No problem.
Right.
But in the way
but I just want you to know that you're redefining relationships to fit your narrative. But the understood, if you can look this up and verify, check and verify what I'm saying, the word relationship is defined specifically in a way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected. So you could very well be connected to that person in a very deep and profound way. However, have other sexual desires with, you know, other people. Now, I know you're saying, you know, it's you, but I'm just saying it's you know.
It's very true. It really is. There's situations with cheating where your body feels one thing and goes one. It's also a matter of choice. It's a matter of choosing to act on what your body naturally feels. The whole thing that I'm saying is, it's not about whether or not, it may very well work for some people, but in the ultimate run, human emotion at some point gets to the point where they want more than what they're offered. They've been doing the dating thing. They're older now. Who wants to sit there and continuously be in a relationship when nothing is really defined for them?
Right.
And yes, everybody's been throwing the dictionary term at me. We understand what that would mean in words and what Webster says it is. We're speaking about humans, about people. Not what the dictionary says. I'm talking about people. Because if relationship was all that, and that's all it was, then all those guys who love playing the field wouldn't get so hot and bothered when one of the women that they're not trying to connect to says it's a relationship.
Well, once again, it goes into a belief system that is actually not African. It's very foreign. You can do the research on this, that a lot of these concepts of related. As a matter of fact, you know, some doctors even refer to it as really illogical to think that, for example, you're the same person. Let's say you and I met, we hit it off, we had this really, really wonderful relationship, and it assumes that you are going to be the same person, right, that I met on, let's say, December 27th today, that you are next year or the year after that. People grow and people change. People's desires change. And, you know, so the concept of loyalty and honesty, I'm 100% with you on that. However, I think the way that people behave sexually can't and don't always necessarily be lumped in together. They are not inextricably linked, you know. They're very, very different. And, you know, what I say is to each his own.
I agree with that, and this is a viewpoint show, and I'm just stating mine as you are stating yours. Absolutely no problem. Like I said, it works for some people to whatever point that it works. The point is, like I said, I the show was prompted by something that I saw and something that I see happen often. And the thing is that don't call it a relationship. It's a dating situation. It's dating, yes. There are plenty of players that are out there that like one person more than the other. There are plenty of people that got good hearts but don't want to be committed. If that's the case, make sure that it's understood and be done with it. If the way that I feel is this, don't call it a relationship. So many people call it a relationship, get pissed off and jealous when they themselves are in an active practice of bringing other people in. There's so many things that can go with that. That person you brought in might be able to do something to your woman that you're not good at doing. That person might do something to your man that you're not good at doing. They may be able to take in something that she has limitations to. And then it becomes something where that's something I actually like to have happen. If that's the case, then keep it open. That way nobody has any type of claim to say, do, or defy, or deny, or permit anything. Going in a relationship as relationships are understood to be, or people here, like I said, even the ones that are the most open have a when one of the people that they're sleeping with says relationship, and if this was something that was not supposed to be said, even if they say it's an open relationship, the word relationship freaks people out.
Like exactly. You got to be exact about the terms. And the thing is, no matter what you say, be honest, right? Because in open relationship, you take away a level of honesty, like I talked about before. But you can add a level of honesty if you're honest about why it is that because we can, like I said, the external circumstances are imaginary. Open relationship, we always have the right or the ability to do anything. But those are imaginary external circumstances we wish to change to cope with what's going on inside.
Well, I think there's an assumed level of maturity when you get into a relationship. We're not talking about junior high school or high school kids. We're talking about adults, who are sober, clear-minded, and they make a decision, to have, this kind of polyamorous relationship. I think it's totally fine. I don't if let's say if your girlfriend is turned on by someone else. And but she's committed to you. It's possible, when, in a sense, mentally, that she's perhaps cheating if she sees Idris Elba, or I don't know, Denzel Washington or something, and she has this idea of how it would be sexually with him. But I mean, she doesn't do the act, of course. But what I'm suggesting is that if you are in a committed relationship and the person loves you, you love the person, they understand what that means. There's a lot of communications. There is honesty and there is trust. You can't say that they don't have a relationship. I think it's unfair and very narrow to kind of say, they don't have a relationship because this person is having a sexual experience with another person.
What's defined as cheating? Because I really want to hear that from people with more broader thoughts.
I think cheating absolutely suggests dishonesty. I think if you have a real kind of open relationship, whatever. You're not lying. I mean, what's the point? What's the incentive?
Well,
I think there's more dishonesty in relationships where people pretend to be committed.
One
second, Rod. Go ahead, sir.
Okay.
I think cheating
happens when someone is being untruthful and dishonest with that other person. I think that's the root of it. This is where I kind of, you know, understand what, you know, you guys are saying or putting out there, because I think at the root of all relationships that are meaningful, you have to have at the foundation honesty, truth, and trust. But above and beyond that, with people in terms of having different types of sexual desires, that's really in another space.
Above truth?
Okay,
I didn't say above. I said that's in another space. You said above. I'm not saying above. I'm saying
okay.
That's part and parcel.
Okay.
What makes up a relationship is many things. There's finances that come into a relationship. There's, you know, people's religious values and morality. All that other kind of stuff gets thrown in. But at the foundation, which is the most important, is honesty, truth, and truth. So, you know, once you have that, you know, with a person, there's people who have had successful relationships having open relationships. And there's some people who've had failed relationships. She was watching the show, and she's quoting Divorce Court. There's a lot of people who have this concept of relationships, and they're getting divorced. The divorce rate is high, because I believe that paradigm, particularly in the black community, is problematic.
Mm. That paradigm is...
You think marriage is problematic in the black community?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Especially when it's coming
absolutely
from...
Absolutely not. We've already abandoned the traditional concept of marriage through strife and struggle anyway throughout this society and in this country. So therefore, we in this country, and talking about marriage, really the institution of marriage could be the best thing for us. It's the medicine.
Wow.
However, the complex dynamics, though, that's going on. Now, we're talking about, like you said, you know, above, on top of a foundation of truth are also foundations of, like you said, sexual preference. That was only one, though. We're also talking about some people have sexual preferences that supersede gender. You know, it's all types of things out here. Now, those are all dynamics upon display as well. However, to say that the paradigm of marriage is detrimental to the black community, that's absolutely false, only because we've already tried the other. The other? We've been stripped of the ability to truly have the monogamous relationships that we wanted to have for the past 400 years. 400 years in this country that we're sitting here now on the telephone.
Okay.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely.
Okay, let me qualify my statement by saying that entire system was never, ever designed to empower black people. Let me just say that first and foremost. So it's religion, you know, King James Version, the Bible. All the things that come under that, our concepts of relationship and marriage, is foreign to us. Our experience in this country for 400-some-odd years is a small blink of an eye compared to our experiences in Africa, which are very, very different. We loved each other. We took care of each other. Families often cohabitated with each other. We protected each other. And now we were stripped of our names, our culture, and our values, and now we're thinking in the context of relationships in a very non-African way, and we think that it's African, and we're saying, let's support
now. Well, let me ask you.
Excuse me.
Give me 1 minute.
Oh,
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You said that African, a lot of men have many wives, right? Okay.
Absolutely.
So There's a couple of things with that. Number one, we all live together, we all did whatever. You honestly really believe all them women sat with each other and were okay with their man being with another wife. I think that they went along with whatever they were told to do because that's what we were designed to do back then. But now let's see, what would the concept be if there was a woman with many husbands?
Well, you know what? That is not African. That is not African.
Oh, it's
I'm just
African.
It's not about African.
It's not about white. It's not about Asian. This is strictly about human beings, period. There's nothing about this whole system.
But there's things that – okay. But there are things that – okay, but okay. There are things
that – We can sing together, but we can't all talk together.
Amen.
I will finish my point, and I will give you the mic back, sir. There is nothing about this system that's designed to empower our people, period, point blank. So that's already known. Let's speak about, and it's not just about the Bible either. There are plenty of people who don't study the Bible, believe in Jesus Christ or whatever, and still have the same idea about what a relationship means.
Mm-hmm.
Don't box them in a box either. You know what?
We still don't have who believe relationships should be exclusive. So it's not strictly about the Bible, the biblical teachings either, okay, King James or otherwise. As a matter of fact, after those, some tribes believed in God, too, that had many wives, and believed that they were doing all of these wives well by bringing home money, by making sure they had a house to live in.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't stop human emotion. It doesn't stop what people think. And usually when people call something a relationship, it means that they've done all the running around and they're ready to deal with the fun. And as far as me, if I got turned on by something on the outside, listen, being committed doesn't mean you're dead. It doesn't mean your eyes don't see and your body doesn't react. It means what do you do about that? And if it was me having an outside temptation or looking at somebody that turned me on, I'm bringing it home to my man and probably going to give him the best sex of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to be in a relationship, then stay in the wind, and that's just what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has somebody that they prefer more than others.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are in relationships right now, committed and otherwise, that are thinking about something that they kind of miss about an ex that they know they can't really ever be with because it's not fruitful for them. But something about them, you know, with something they can't get out of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Do they act on it? That's a big different story.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, plenty of people are out there living this life and it's okay with them. I see people who swim on a weekly basis. But the point is there are a lot more increased negativity that comes from it that people don't realize they won't be able to take should it happen. And I don't see how you could say, you know, you can be in a relationship, but you're open to do whatever, or I'm with you, but I'm with everybody else too.
Mm-hmm.
That you manipulate.
I can understand if you're thinking with the mindset that's European. That's not your natural state, sister. That is not jealousy doesn't even become you. That's what you've been programmed to. You got to ask yourself, where did you get that idea from? Where are these ideas coming from that people can't? For example, do you have children?
Yes, plenty.
Okay, how many children do you have?
I have 10 children.
Okay, you have 10 children. Don't you love them all?
Yes, I do. But
okay,
that's a child.
So let me just finish my point. So it's possible that you could be committed and loving 10 of your children. Am I right or wrong? Right? But you don't have sex with them. I hope not. Right?
No.
Right? So the ability and the concept of having this relationship with your children, right, and it being non-sexual, transfer that concept and that idea to the man that you say that you love. So that if he, okay, so if he, let's say, you know, decided to have a sexual relationship with somebody, right, somebody else other than yourself, your reaction is born out of many, many years of programming, not only just from the church on TV. You see, this is how a woman's supposed to react when she finds out her man is doing this. And so she takes him to court, and she gets half, and, you know, all of this really salacious kind of nonsense that you see, you know, on programming. That's why they call it programming. So she internalizes that behavior and says, this is the way that I'm supposed to behave when this happens to me. And I'm telling you, you do the research, don't take my word for it. If you look at Kemet, you look at Kush, you look at some of the most successful societies that were African, examine how they got along in terms of their interpersonal relationships with their mates. That's all I'm putting out there. And then it will make clearer to you my perspective in terms of people who are having this, you know, relationship, sexual relationships with other people, does not really hold water in terms of the kind of responses that, you know, women who are programmed in this particular European mindset has been programmed to respond. So,
now,
you know, for
you
example,
know
being in an open relationship, you mentioned, you know, sometimes it says that a person isn't good enough or a man's supposed to feel a certain way of a you know, a woman is doing something that's cheating. But being in an open relationship does not mean your partner isn't good enough. Matter of fact, on the contrary, generally speaking, a person identifying as a polyamorous has nothing whatsoever to do with the people there in a relationship. Most of the people in that relationship fills a void within themselves that is
successful. Okay?
Huh?
You mentioned African. Now, I'm gonna tell you what I've noticed and what I've seen, and
mm-hmm.
you know, that's been around quite a bit too in documented articles. A lot of these cultures that you're speaking about have cultural rules that women stay silent, women are to obey, women are to be submissive, women are to be
that's not African, honey. That's not
right.
African. That's not African. As a matter of fact, what's
African
is the man would go to the...
have all been submissive to their kings, And I'm not talking about... I'm speaking on men, husbands being, in their mind, their king. Okay? Even in America right now, the African cultures and communities that I see are that way. Okay,
but they're
now,
not practicing genuine African traditions. They haven't done the research. That's European indoctrination of a king, and you're supposed to be submissive. Who wants anything sub or underneath? You know, that language is coded language. It's from that kind of slave.
First of all, when it comes to a man and a woman, the woman comes from the man anyway, so she's not supposed to be in front of him or behind him. She's supposed to be at his side. So
the woman comes from the man.
What? That's comical. That's comical.
No, that's not. That's inaccurate. That's factually inaccurate, and that's impossible. Then who gave birth to that man? Woman was the first. This is science, and this is what I'm saying. A lot of things get confused in our community. And what it does, it really,
let's
I
see,
think.
First of all, let me make something clear. I'm not a religious, but I am spiritual. So right now we're getting ready to clash. I just feel that because.
Because you assume one thing.
Say what? Say again. Hello.
Hello.
Excuse me.
All right, move along, Deacon. What are you saying?
Okay. Like I was saying, like a woman is supposed to be at the man's side, okay? So you're saying that the in the beginning, a woman did not come from the man?
That's factually inaccurate, and it's impossible. You submit that idea to logic
and reason.
In other
words, you don't
if you submit that,
creator,
if you
right?
submit what you just said to logic and reason, I would have to tell
no,
you then who birthed
you don't
that
believe
man.
In the creator.
How did that man exist?
I just asked you a simple question. You don't believe in the creator.
Do I believe in a single creator? No, I believe in the cosmos. I absolutely do not submit to the
that's
idea.
That's why
of
we're
going to
we're going to
clash.
There's not going to be an agreement here.
This
no, it's not. You're making a point that's factually impossible.
Gentlemen,
it's just on
you guys
the fact,
don't
see,
agree, and we in believing in God or believing in Creator or believing in science, and that is not what tonight is about. So we're going to move along from that.
Let's do that.
Let's move along from that one. I do have to take a break. I will be back in about 5 minutes. You guys should hang on with me. Okay.
Okay.
One second.
Yeah, because we're about to clash. I'm gonna tell you that right.
Oh, that's all right. That's healthy. It's all in love. It's about love and light.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. Tonight's show is sponsored by Morris Wrights, LLC, to Mr. Hakeem Bey and to his lovely wife. We are in the middle of a very heated and intense, healthy discussion about the subject, is open relationships the backdoor exit from commitment? And we have four particular gentlemen that is on, bringing them back in as we speak. Just 1 second. Rod, are you with me?
Yep.
Okay. Deacon, are you back?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Stay low.
Peace, brothers, peace. And peace, sister.
Okay. Yeah.
And Cola, are you back?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. I don't want to turn this into a religious situation, and that's what it will be, between science versus the Bible versus God versus the almighty, the universe. I don't want to do that because that's a whole different heated pole, and I don't want to do that at all. I wanted to, like I said, I have been hit with all sorts of, I don't know, defense mechanisms or viewpoint contradictions, which is all perfectly well and good. The question is whether or not an open relationship can be considered a relationship, and frankly, I don't see how it could. I can't see how something that has the parameters of being exclusive, and this is not biblical, this is not scientific, this is pretty much what humans have always been known it to be. As I said, people get up and they say, I'm dating, I'm not with nobody, I'm not in a relationship, I'm not in this, and the next thing you know, when it's being said in that respect, if that person is not ready for the relationship, they're hot as hell about it. So a relationship is really known and understood to be exclusive. Now, having an open relationship is involving other people, bringing everybody in, linking up all sorts of scenarios, from people coming into the committed bedroom to it being two people sharing the same space but really living their own lives and coming back and sharing a piece of it together. And if, and my question is, if that's the case, why not just remain single? I'm going to go to you. Carla, what is your name? At least your first name or whatever.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive my rudeness. My name is Tylon, and I'm from New York City.
Hi, so am I, Tylon. Okay. Tylon, let me ask you a question. If a
sure.
man was married.
That's Tylon?
Yes.
Okay.
T-Y-L-O-N.
Okay.
If a man or a woman is married, okay,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
they indulge with other partners, do
right.
you consider that cheating?
No. And I think the question is a little loaded, but let me qualify my answers and kind of fill in some blanks, perhaps. That if I'm assuming that when people get married to each other, they have meaningful, substantive conversations with one another, meaning that they've discussed, their value systems, where they come from. They discuss perhaps their history. They discuss other things, and then they have very real experiences with one another that actually add value to that relationship.
Okay.
So, you know, it's very plausible, even in broader society, that people who have a commitment with each other, and that commitment is not just a sexual one, meaning that although they are committed and they care about each other and they stand by each other, it might be fine for, that man to step out, perhaps even in some cases, you know, the woman too. But it's what I think two people agree to, understand, and remember I said at the foundation, have that truth and that honesty piece, which is so key, in terms of linking the communication aspect to it, that they can have a very healthy, meaningful relationship, have children.
Excuse me, there's some background noise and I'm having a hard time understanding you, so wherever it's coming from, can you straighten that out, please? Thank you.
Okay, Tyler.
Yeah. So you know, they can have very, very happy, long-term, and healthy relationships and have healthy children out of those kinds of relationships as well.
Okay. So when two people stand before a church, a justice of the peace, a judge, a captain of a boat, whatever, and their vows strictly state forsaking all others, being faithful to each other, being loved and honest and cherish each other. Those don't count.
Well, see, now you're bringing in religion, because that's the value
system.
No, this
is not religion, because captains of a boat.
Absolutely, because
religion.
If they're standing in a church and they're standing in all that other kind of stuff, that suggests very heavily, a religious value system, that when they take these kind of oaths and all that other kind of stuff, that once again, if you do your research, it's just not me saying it in a bubble somewhere. It's not even African, and it's nature.
Find out what African.
I don't see it being religious when this is something said in the Justice of the Peace, which is not religion. They're just pretty much, you can go to Vegas drunk one night and somebody
right.
says that, you kiss, you do whatever,
but,
and it's over.
But marriage also in this country, which probably is another discussion that you might want to have on your show, it really has more to do with the business as opposed to a person's commitment. You don't have to go to a justice or a peace, a justice of the peace. You don't have to go to a church in
I
order
agree
to
with
be
the
committed.
One second.
Okay.
I agree with the Dugan. Wherever that background noise is coming from, it's really disrespectful to the panel.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I agree.
Go ahead, Simon.
Okay. What I'm saying, especially in this country, marriage has become a mechanism in which to oppress, particularly black men. So marriage is very different, I would say, perhaps in this country and maybe European countries, as it is in other countries. So someone being committed to someone and having a loving and nurturing relationship has really nothing to do with someone being married to that person in the sense that you're talking about going into the justice of the peace and all this other kind of stuff and those vows. Whatever those vows are to each other, I look at those as sacred, and that's what is the foundation, once again, of all relationships, is to have that honesty and that trust, and I would even say open communications.
Okay, so in the culture, in your opinion, in the culture of African men that have more than one wife, that call them their wife or marry them, it's not a problem because there's many women?
Can you repeat the question again? Because I'm getting that noise.
Okay, I said, so in your opinion, you're saying that the marriage is really a mechanism and it's bringing black men down and it's doing all this stuff. But
I'm saying particularly in this country, it's a device that's used to really oppress, or I should say further oppress, because most black men, whether they realize it or not, are extremely oppressed in this country. It's just a device to further oppress them. If you love another person, you don't. Marriage now has a lot more to do with the government than your actual commitment to another human being.
Okay, so let me ask you something. In our African ancestry, in our heritage,
yes.
where
yes.
slaves really found their wives and their families to be the utmost precious commodity in their life, where being married was sacred in their mind, where
Absolutely.
Everything about that union meant that they would take whatever it took
right.
for their wife or whatever, they were oppressed.
Oh, not in Africa, no, not in our traditional sense, because it had a different meaning, meaning that, for example, when I say marriage to you, it invokes certain ideas in your head. And it may be mostly European as opposed to African, because marriages in Africa, for example, in the Kush Nation, it was clearly understood that this man was committed and devoted to that person for the rest of her life. But it does not mean that he did not have, as a matter of fact, he would have to get permission from what was called his first wife to even have another wife, or get permission from, let's say, those two wives to have a third wife.
And you abide by that structure. If that's your
I'm just saying that's the structure that
and,
all I'm saying is that is the structure that has been
that's cool.
Hello?
Yeah.
I need you to come close.
Yes, much better. Go ahead.
I was saying, and if that's the culture that you abide by, and the thing is, it is cultural, and it is different for different people, and it's different for different people even within this society. But
thank you for that.
At the same time, the definitions between the two partners must agree. So that
Absolutely.
Is really that's the requisite right there. But
Absolutely.
At the same time,
mm-hmm.
you know, which one of us is really you know, who's prepared to make that true agreement? Who's prepared to have the reference? You know, even the historical reference you just referenced. I love that because I've found that in my studies, and all that is good. However, in the society we're in now,
right?
And the society we have as a black people, now we held to some responsibility.
Absolutely.
What about the concept that, you know, you may want something, but you're not always entitled to have it? You may want to do certain things, or you may want to obtain certain things, but it's really not for you to have.
That's what the whole
I mean, there are plenty
separation.
Of people that have...
Right.
There are certain things that you have to get to the point of understanding that everything is not for you. I mean, what about that?
Absolutely.
What about the fact that you've committed yourself to a person? Listen, not for nothing, but you know it's sounding like a whole bunch of I want to have my cake and eat it too, and I'm going to put the utmost respect to the cake I have. But you know, I want to try a little bit of that.
Exactly, and the way I see that I've started to see that metaphor as I got older, is having cake eat it too. It was so funny because as a kid, I mean, when somebody said something like, "I want my cake and I want to eat it," of course, and that kind of made sense at first. at first, right? But then as I got older, I was like, hold on, wait. So first, when we talking about cake, we're not just talking about any cake. We talking about birthday cake in particular. This is a reference or allusion to something that everybody in society, we share. The birthday cake, the birthday party, supposedly. All of us don't, of course, but most of us do. So then you got the birthday cake. Now, when you have a birthday party, this party is for you. This whole party is for you. The cake's for you. Everything's for you. It got your name on it. However, you can't be the only person at that party eating that cake. That's absolutely madness. So to have that party, to have that society, to have that community, to have that built structure, you got to have some type of standards to live by or what have
right.
you. You can't just be eating all the damn cake.
Right.
It's not even
right.
just that.
But
I
it
think
is
that
what
you
it
can...
is, though, because that's
mm-hmm.
the separation between the external circumstances that we imagine and try to incorporate in life, and that's all that crap was imaginary. And then we got to
right.
deal with the
I
internal.
Think...
What's wrong with you? Or what's wrong with
I
me? Or what's wrong with them?
I think when they made that statement, it meant that you can't keep your cake and then want to eat it and think you could still have it, meaning that once you eat it, it's gone. So it's like you can't sit there and say, I want to get married, but I still want to do what I used to do when I was single. I want to be committed, but I want to still have all access to whatever. If you make a choice to move up to the next step, if you make a choice to do something different, like people who want to start a business, okay, but they also are clubbers. They're weekly clubbers. They got to be at every event, the hottest, whatever in town, but you want to start a business from scratch, meaning that's going to take time. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take, quote, unquote, wait for it, sacrifice.
Right.
And that's the one thing that I don't think an open relationship makes a qualifying relationship.
Oh, come on. You can't really believe that. I don't believe you're saying that. You can't possibly believe that. You don't think that people who, you know, have that relationship have still a level of love, trust, commitment. The things that you're talking about aren't necessarily connected. I know some people, for example, that's like me saying, I know this couple, right? They're married, and they say they love each other. They took the vows, and they did all other stuff. But she's cheating, and he's cheating. And so, therefore, you know, since they're cheating, they're fraud and this, that, and the other. I mean, people, you know.
Why get married? Why get married? Why promise to love, honor, and cherish that one person and forsake all others? Why do that? Now, it sounds to me like it's
well,
not married.
Let me say this.
Allow
I
me
think,
to finish
I,
my point, Tylon. Okay? Now,
sure.
it sounds to
mm-hmm.
me like if you got married, you'd be on a boat, and, you know, you'd have, I don't know, maybe Sean Diddy standing there and saying something in a hip-hop
mm-hmm.
form, and it's good, as long as it sounds like it works. Maybe so. You and you mean every word of it. You mean every word of it. But
mm-hmm.
it absolves you of the sacrifice and commitment that it takes to call it a relationship. And like I said, we both have our own opinions on it, and we're both entitled to do so. And for you to say you don't believe that I'm saying it, yes, I'm saying it. There's certain things you're saying that I'm sitting there like, what? But it's your opinion. It's how you feel.
Well,
because I'm sitting there like half the things you're saying I can't believe either, but it's what you feel.
I like to believe that when we have these kinds of conversations
mm-hmm.
that we submit what someone is saying to us to logic and reason, that we say that it's reasonable for a person to have, let's say, multiple lovers, right, and still be committed, all right, in terms of commitment, in terms of, let's say, maybe their emotional, financial stability, you know, because we really didn't discuss that, to still have at the foundation of their relationship honesty, you know, truth and trust and very good communications, and still build. The connection that you're making to me is just very subjective and very narrow. And now it's like you're taking the word relationship. And I told you with the Webster Dictionary version, at least the collective understanding of it is, and now you're making a new definition to suit the narrative. And
I'm not making a new definition. I'm saying what people understand relationships.
Let's look at. I mean, you can look it up. I can tell you exactly
what
it says in terms of relationships
and people.
Mm-hmm.
You put now. Just understand what I just said. You just gave me a definition that is all inclusive of people, things, and objects. And we're talking about
the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected.
Concepts, objects, or people. Now, I'm going to tell you that when it comes down to something that deals with big levels of people, emotion, I'm not trying to really go with a general definition of certain things. Okay? We understand what the technical term of relationship means. Listen, there's a relationship between fire and gas. There's a relationship between water and rain. There's a relationship between why thunder makes noise. But I'm not speaking on that. I'm speaking right now on the relationships of love, emotions, and sex. And that's what I'm speaking of, with people, the superior, what we're supposed to be, the superior species. That's what I'm speaking about. Okay?
Yeah, but I'm
now,
saying,
I'm saying to you, you can't sit there and justify or say that, okay, yes, we can. We are capable of loving more than one thing, one object, one person. You brought up, you made a assimilation between a mother and her children and people and multiple lovers. Absolutely no comparison. I breastfed. Did I get turned on by my kids breastfeeding on my breast? But if my man was doing it, it would be a whole different story. So there's no comparison, sir, none whatsoever. Am I opening my heart and mind to other people's theories and that there could be a different aspect? Absolutely. But at the end of anybody listening to five different ways that something could be said, we're still going to come out with an opinion that we feel is more logical to us. So I'm going to tell you, I can't see how anybody, you just said, you gave a perfect scenario, which actually explains what open relationship really makes favorable to people. You just said, what about the financial aspect of stability? What about the fact, how can you say that you're going to sit there and put your Johnson in somebody else? Okay, then get up and what do you say if they're not the main person? All right, thanks for the ride, baby. You're good at that one. I'm going to go home to my financial stability. I love you just as you are, but you're
it's
not
all corrupt, ain't it?
At the end of the day,
you've got five people, and that sounds like a corporate situation. It sounds like a corporate situation that there's five people on a team. One is better at website design. One is the best at getting the people. Another one is the best at research. You need all of them to make the one team. I'm not speaking on that when it comes down to people's emotions and heart and commitment and feeling of respect. Because I damn sure would not feel respected by one person who needs to screw six other women and call me his main one.
And can I tell you something? And you have every right to feel that way. But that's why I said what you're saying is subjective. It really has nothing to do with fact. It's more like, this is how I feel about it. And, it has nothing. But what I'm saying is that something that's rooted in honesty, truth, and then when you have certain ideas, that's why we're having a discussion. You have a radio show because you're transmitting certain thoughts and ideas, and you know you're trying to shape perception on your show. That it has to be to some extent reasonably based in a language that I think most of us can understand. So if I'm going to take a word and let's say I'm going to redefine it, when I'm saying it, I'm saying this and I'm saying that, it's problematic. It doesn't really elevate the conversation. Perhaps public perception is shaped by, you know, dominant society, in particular in this country is European-based, and unsuspecting black folks fall prey to certain stereotyping of certain ideas that is really a detriment to our community by and large.
Okay,
and
so
recouping.
Marriage is a detriment to our society.
It is not marriage.
What I'm saying at the foundation.
No, one sentence, Halo, I want to verify if that's what he meant. I want to find out if that's what you're saying. You're saying, because you said it twice, that black men are more oppressed by the concept of marriage. Because I want to know how many black men are.
Yes, particularly in this country. Particularly in this country where it's defined to be more of a corporate type of arrangement as opposed to something that is really based in African tradition.
Mm. Okay. So I'm
we live in
to
a capitalist, imperialist society. Can we agree with that?
This is definitely American society.
I couldn't understand what he said. What was the question?
I said, can you agree that we live currently in a capitalist, imperialist,
ooh,
and oppressive society. Can we agree with that?
Absolutely. Come on.
Okay.
Let's
okay.
Get it.
So do you think? Okay. So do you think that by us living in this kind of society, that perhaps our perception has been shaped by this dominant society?
Most of us. Yeah.
I will say this, and then Rod, the mic is going to go to you, honey, because I know you've been trying to speak. I will say this. Capitalism, I don't think, has a darn thing to do with people's perception of marriage. Oppression,
whoa,
yes, definitely, this country is. It's designed to oppress. I do believe capitalism will induce oppression because the big wigs want to stay big, and they want to do it on the backs of the little people. I get that, okay? I say
right.
that. But I think at the end of the day, people will do people will get away with, what people are let to get away with. I think people will make the choices that best fit them.
Right.
I think a lot more African-American men are looking for marriage, but for whatever the reason is. A lot of people are, they're skeptical. We did a show on that not too long ago. They're skeptical because now a lot more women are becoming open and trying to do what men do with regards to doing the players and being, you know, sexually open or whatever the case is, and they do it in such a way where good men in the shadows don't want to be bothered with trying anymore. So I get that. The same way women have been, you know, used and abused for years, men are right up there with them. Just that society tells them they're not allowed to mention that.
That's right.
Okay, one thing I will say is I'm a black Latina woman, so I'm with what affects us, and at the same token, I'm not with what's not right. I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I'm not with every feminist situation that comes up. Fair is fair, right is right. And
you're talking
I feel,
about the content.
I'm feeling that I don't believe that there's African-American men out there that will be oppressed by marriage because, in my opinion, that's like the ultimate honor when a man can stand up there and say, as much as my Johnson raises up when I see the sight of somebody's clitoris or breasts out there in public, I've got someone at home that means the world to me and I can get that from her. Okay? Maybe in my old days I probably would have hit that.
Right,
okay,
right.
But in the same token, I've grown up, I've matured, and this woman means something to me. The same way I would expect a woman to say the same thing about a man she chose to be exclusive with. But that's, like I said, that's my viewpoint. That's how I feel.
Right,
I'm not
right.
turning down anybody's lifestyle. I'm just putting onto the table if it's really a relationship. Why not just be out there and deal with your multiple partners? Why put
right.
the spin of a relationship on it when relationship, regardless of what Webster says about concepts and objects?
Right.
Because they
exactly.
are relationships.
Exactly, because Webster also says black is absolutely nothing. If we,
exactly.
I'm going to just sum it up, paraphrase it for you. So look at you. See? But not look at you. I'm not talking about you personally. I'm just talking about, in the general perspective. But then look at us. Okay? Look at this now. Webster could dictate something for us automatically.
Sure.
We were supposed to come to some type of consensus and not go along with the BS. Now
yes.
the BS says this. This is what the BS says. The BS says, no matter what, none of that matters. All of the thing is go yeah. In fact, yeah. Study the different forms of things that have been. But absolutely ignore your current condition. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do not look at your current condition. Because if you look at your current condition, then you'll be condemned somehow. Somehow.
I think
and we all are. We all are, but we all cope with that differently. All
I
right?
think it was given the assignment of defining African Americans, we would be a book of stereotypes.
Mm.
We're lazy.
Shit.
We're all deadbeat fathers that have multiple children. Mothers
right.
are a bunch of army breeding, nobodies that don't know who their baby daddies are. We all want something for nothing. We don't want to get up off our ass and do a damn thing. We don't want to sit there. We want to be all we need is something that's worth $300 on our feet and nothing for our pockets. We're never going to be anything. If we get credit, it was obtained by fraudulent means. That's what I think Webster would say about us.
Yeah. That's what the Westerner does say about us.
And I do need to pass the mic over to Rod. He's been trying to speak, and there's also another panelist trying to come in. Rod, what were you trying to say, dear?
Hello?
Hello, Rod.
No, yeah, I was trying to, no, I was trying to say, because, I'm sorry.
Salo, I meant Rod. Rod was the other panelist. Rod,
oh,
you were in the corner trying to speak something.
Oh, that was Salo in the,
in the beginning.
East Time. Yep.
All right. Well, allow me to bring our other panelists in and see what they have to say. Hang on. Welcome to the show, Corley, on the air.
Peace. This is Brother Larry. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Larry.
All right. Good,
good,
Brother Larry.
Good, good. Open relationship, to me, that's another word that a wife would say to a husband, a husband would say to a wife, let's go cheat. And, you know, I say that because I look, one of the reasons why I said it, I saw different segments of the situation in divorce courts and things, and it really busted up the relationship of the husband and the wife because one of them wanted to give it up once they got married, or, you know what I'm saying? And to me, that is another word for say, let's cheat and let's go find us some cheaters.
I agree with you on that one. I think it's just an excuse for people to be able to hold on to a life that, you know, a relationship means to give up. So,
the gentleman spoke about being in an oppressive society. We as a people from our parents, from descendants from slaves, we have been taken out of our natural habitat. When the enemy infiltrated and penetrated Africa, he penetrated and infiltrated our mind just as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I said before, and because they have ripped us, I mean, they just turned us inside and upside down, that we are now walking on our crowns instead of our crowns on our heads. And we are acting like them, you know, like I said before, some of God's greatest, not all, I don't want no misperception of my words, some of God's great men had more than one wife. But, you know, it was done on a spiritual or a religious level where the woman didn't do what the men do, because it's going to be a messy thing there. And because that naturalness of the life of us taken out of context brought here, you know, we're not even living our life, really. We live in everybody else's life except for our own.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Larry, you brought up something that made some sense, and it prompted a question in my head, which I wanted to ask of you, Kylan, because you brought up, you know, the multiple wives that, you know, the African culture had and everything. Now, you just think, when they came in to take us from Africa as slaves, like I said, our ancestors would have died, took a bullet, took a slice to the neck for the sacredness of their union, okay? Now, you said, and I want to ask you a follow-up question. You said that in America, it oppresses the black man. So now, if everything about those people, even the ones that had multiple wives, that found their wives to be of the utmost, on a pedestal of the utmost peak, okay? They didn't feel oppressed, and they made sure that it was marriage. Why would it be oppressive to black men in America now?
Because he lost the
knowledge because well, it would be oppressive to black people if, let's just once again submit this to logic and reason. What this brother just said so eloquently, that this system was never ever designed to empower us, and then we get married into the system, it's problematic. This is not the same marriage that we loved and we appreciated when we were in Africa.
Right.
This marriage here, let me finish what I'm saying. This marriage here.
I really need to know.
Can I finish? That's what I'm saying. This marriage here is a mechanism designed by the system to oppress particularly black men with this kind of legal concept. It's not even a marriage that is African. It's a marriage that has more to do with commerce, treating the man as commerce and also his woman as commerce and even the children.
Yeah.
So I suggest to men, when men come here and they tell me, well, you know, hey, you know, I'm thinking about getting...
The open swinging lifestyle say for those very people? If this, you can't blame a system for human choice.
You absolutely have to. As a matter of fact, I would say that it is a matter of our survival that we point out the inherent contradictions in this system versus the African system that really our survival depends on. Shows like yours.
Let me say something real quick.
Because of the African system.
Can I say something real quick? What we've been in this country still in mental slavery for 500 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been, 98% of us are still under that mindset that is contrary to our very nature.
Come on. Absolutely.
And
come on,
like
brother. Come on,
brother. Now today, a sister get married to a brother if he got some money or a good job or security. Or he can lay her, and vice versa.
But let me tell you this.
I don't see no sincerity in marriage.
That's right. That's right.
I don't see it. You know, first thing I want to know, what kind of job you got? You got a bank account? No. Don't ask me what I got. What are you bringing to the table?
That's right. Go ahead,
bro. That's not real. Now, but I'm going to tell you why that's real, though. Why it's real is double
reverse. Once again, brothers. That still goes back down to the choice of the two people, how they behave with each other. Let me tell you, there's Angela Bassett and Courtney B. Vance right now. These two have been married for God knows how long, got two children, if not more by now. And tell me, how often do you see them in the public eye of Hollywood?
Sister Barner, how many women know that heaven is at the foot of a woman? How many women know
that? Yes, Lord.
Let me ask you a question.
How many women know that?
Hold on 1 second. Being at the foot of a woman has to do with us speaking right now about relationships.
Because we was talking about open relationships. I said, there's such thing as open relationship. It's called cheating. And marriage, as I see it today, is a commodity or something like that. You know, what are you going to... I remember when I was a little boy and I had a girlfriend. Listen to this here. I was about 14 years of age and I had a girlfriend. And the mother said, you got a job? Well, I'm going to school like your daughter going to school. You know what I'm saying? I just want to be her boyfriend. But you want to know if I got a job? I'm 14 years of age in school.
My daughter is 16 years old and she has a little friend and I say the same thing and I'm joking about it. I'm joking about it until I get to the point where it becomes a serious situation. Then that is something you want to ask. And it's not about commercialism. It's about what the hell are you going to do for my child when you take them out of the security of their parental home?
I can guarantee you that
same African culture who had to go to a father to ask for their daughter's hand in marriage asked the same damn thing.
That's,
you have a farm. You have a horse.
So
none of what you're saying applies to why things are open or whether open relationships are considered relationships. None of that. None of it. Not the system, not commercialization. No. Commercialization happens when the people involved in the marriage allow the system to run their damn life.
I
mentioned about 2 minutes ago, Courtney B. Vance and Angela Bassett, two prominent black Hollywood icons. Okay, you know Angela Bassett from the just by the first name most of the time. You know who Courtney B. Vance is, and I can guarantee you, you can't find a damn scandal in Hollywood about their problems. You can't find nothing.
Yeah, but I bet you won't. Then they won't come to the hood and get no brother ain't got no money like them and bring him up.
Here we go again.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
this is Taiwan. Can I interject something here? This is Tylon. I just want to interject something, if I could. I think this is a very, very wonderful discussion. I think
Thank you, sir. You're
a wonderful and gracious hostess, and I love all the ideas that are coming out, and I think it's relevant, and I think it's important. And I think we have to agree to disagree, but I definitely respect you for having this wonderful program. I'm going to tune in and tell other people to tune in. What I'd like to say, though, we have to be very careful of censoring ideas. I think more ideas make us better as a society and as a people, because we've been really, as one of the brothers articulated, I don't know which one earlier,
we've been really, absolutely.
And I think
and we don't even know it. Most of us
that's
don't
right.
Know.
That's right. So
ladies
I think,
and gentlemen, speak and stop trying to talk over everybody else, please. That's a common courtesy.
Thank you. So what I think is important is that it's okay for you to disagree with my point of view, but I just think that we have to be mindful not to censor these thoughts and ideas. Let's say, for example, you think my idea is absolutely absurd and ridiculous. Challenge me to show and prove. I will be more than happy to submit the culture and traditions of the Kush Nation. I'll be more than happy to talk about the Ethiopian nations that existed for a long time before this European diseased concept of what marriage is.
Tylon, excuse me one minute. I'm sorry, honey. Larry, we really don't need the church testifying in the back. So let him finish.
I'm not testifying.
But I'm feeling it. He's inspiring me.
You're making a sound after every word he says. We're not in church.
I'll sum it up real quick so everybody else can have time to speak. But I just want to say that what provoked me to even call on this in this conversation is because I kind of felt in a sense that it was one-sided, and I wanted to offer a different perspective in that. We have to go back to not this idea of having a commercialized love and relationship and almost like a slave kind of connotations that's connected to where you have to submit, a woman has to be this, and then to really get back to the African concept of love, nurturing, taking care of each other, communications, honesty, truth. Those should be very key tenets to any kind of healthy relationship. And you do not need the government to sanction to approve a marriage, and I think to also even say, to a young girl that, it's about what a man can do for you. It's just like when you have love, and I'm talking about real love. I'm not talking about the sexual thing. If you have real love, anything and everything is possible.
Yes, sir.
That's a great point to make.
I totally agree with you.
It's very appreciated. On the other hand, we got to stop telling our young men or allowing our young men to believe that the way to do things is to be a man by conquest, to be a man by conquering and dividing, to walk away from things that other people will put in their head as being, we're trying to put you on the hook. We do need to give our young kids the idea or get them back into valuing what the original idea of union was.
Right. Now, can I chime in one time before time?
Go ahead, sir. I found where the noise is. Go ahead.
I just wanted to chime in one time. Okay. it's like this. If, for the sake of time, just go with me. Act as if you're the people I'm talking about. So act as if you're the people I'm talking about. You hear me? So act as if you're the people I'm talking about. So when I was in Mexico, I was studying these people that had been on this reservation. And they had been on this reservation for the last 8,000 to 9,000 years that can be recorded, very, very, very accurately. So 8,000 to 9,000 years, they've been on this same reservation. And they have much of their old laws, things that we can't, as African Americans, we can't fall back on a lot of times because we don't know beyond a certain amount of years. Also, our closest proximity to our African heritage a lot of times is our heritage in North America. A lot of our brothers that kind of know about the Moorish school of thought, stuff like that, know that we were here a long time ago as well, installing the African school of thought anyway already. So these people that I was studying in Mexico when I was on the dig, right? These people were totally flabbergasted when the white man got there. And the reason they were so flabbergasted is because the white man didn't understand that the women were the politicians. The women mm-hmm. made the decisions. The women were actually in control, mostly mm-hmm. of the society. This is absolutely true fact, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go to it fast. Now, they were flabbergasted because the white man understood this not, okay? The white man didn't understand that sometimes they offered, even in marriage, as an offering of peace, like, come on, okay, we'll work with you. We got all this money. We got all this stuff. But work with us, you know what I mean? We'll talk about it like this. No, okay, we'll also move forward. Where the white man also didn't understand when the white man abused women at all.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even understand the white man's mode of war, because when they came, these people were so strong, they were able to hold off the white man like this. The white man came, and he came to declare this edict that was so many pages long that it would have trailed the floor, all right? And the white man came to declare this edict that this was going to be his land. They all shot arrows from this 140-family building and pinned the white man to the floor. Didn't kill most of them. Didn't kill many at all. Didn't try not to kill any of them, and pinned them to the ground so they couldn't move before they got there. Then the white man still came in to pillage and plunder, tried to, you know, but these people still have a reservation to this day. All right? This is all fact. This is historical knowledge. Now, I'm talking about the Zuni people. I was down there. All right? So can you conceptualize being this people this many years ago?
Mm-hmm.
All right? So then when you talk about family structure, you talk about marriage, you talk about all this other stuff, you must go beyond. And you got to go to a higher level. You got to ascribe to your people. Our people right now need some sound foundation and family structure and open relationships.
Some background noise. I can't understand what he's saying.
Yeah, I'm hearing it too.
Anymore either. Somebody's like just blasting.
Yeah, it sounds like they're out in a car or something.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you know. Thank you.
Yeah, that was right. All right, go ahead.
I don't even know. Absolutely, though. Absolutely.
No, you're making a point about the culture.
You always have some great points when you come on, and, you know, a lot of it. And, Tyler, you've touched on some very important facts, too. And one of the things is, yes, I will say this. I am fully aware of what our people struggle with. I'm fully aware of the daily extra obstacles we have to get mm-hmm. through just to get one basic right. But coming yeah. down to basics here, there are a lot mm-hmm. of things that have nothing to do with the struggle. It has to do with the choices that you make regardless of what you are in. There are certain things that have to do with the way people choose for themselves, what they're going to choose to lay down and accept, what they're going to choose to fight for, how they're going to choose to behave, what they're going to choose, what type of people they're going to choose to be. Okay? Now, is there going to be an arrow hitting them at every corner that they turn? Absolutely. But then there goes back to the point, like I said, once again, if they're, like I'm keep bringing up these two for a reason. Angela Bassett and Courtney B. Vance, one black super couple in Hollywood. Hollywood, a place that it takes your life. There's Illuminati rumors. There's a whole bunch of people went from being the most sweet, innocent thing to what Miley Cyrus turned out to be. Because that's what Hollywood requires. There's things like the Mansion Party, which to me is a decrepit situation to humanity, period. All right? But there are people that are out there that said, regardless to what the collective accepts of us, this is the way we're going to do it. Those two decided to keep their kids out of the public eye, except for an exclusive magazine interview where they got a snapshot of their kids and sent them back real quick. Those two have had arguments, and they spoke about it. We've had arguments, plenty of disagreements, but they knew how to honor each other and stay out of Hollywood. Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, they've never been married, but they've been together for ages. And they managed to raise a family out of the spotlight with, matter of fact, mostly all of their family members, including daughters of their own, are big-time stars themselves. And yet and still, they managed to keep the sanctity of their union together and out of the public eye, because it was not about what the government said. It was not about what Hollywood dictates. It was about the fact that we are together, us here. Hollywood can come and go.
That's first
the
and
government
foremost.
Can come and go. At the end of the day, it's about what the hell are you going to do for your partner? What are you going to do for your wife, your husband? How are you going to behave?
Yes, Lord.
What is it that I'm bringing to the table? Like I said before, I'm not saying that open relationships don't work for some people. But I'm saying this. If cheating is considered going outside of the relationship and you guys are allowing outsiders from the relationship to come in, then isn't that just consensual infidelity?
Yes.
Why not just not be in a relationship? Why not just say I'm dealing with 500 girls and one of them I like more than the other? This one can cook, this one cannot. This one can twist her tongue in a certain way that the other one can't. This one moves her hips a certain way. This guy can is bigger this way. This person can do that. Why not? This one knows how to work the books. This one can get me a car on a no credit basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because pretty much that's really what it all boils down to in the end.
That is what it all boils down to. And another thing is that we as a people, it's funny because the ailment now is that we as a people, we're viewing relationships all wrong, because at the end of the day, the way we need to form relationships is transverse from what the media is going to portray anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all that crap,
mm-hmm.
every piece of it, you know what I mean? All the stuff even the stuff they paint in blackface, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of it, what we really supposed to portray is transverse from that. It's supposed
mm-hmm.
to be deeper than the government, like you said. It's supposed to be deeper from every societal constraint. You know, it's bringing forth the birth of children. This is where we've been falling short, though. In the family situation, because they tried to destroy it from the very beginning, and we tried to keep it somewhat alive. Well, we can't continue to trail their coattails and go their way when we already know the way. We know we need to figure out. I mean, come on. I mean, now I look at the long distance relationships to bring it back to down to real context. How about the long distance relationships?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm down to
and the
last
ones that
want
to be open relationships there. Okay, at the end of the day, we did that in slavery. In real life, in reality, we did that in slavery to just in order to hold on to some part of the sacred bond where we wanted to be together.
Indeed.
Solely and exclusively. Now to throw that in the wind. Now you're saying, oh, ancestors, I'm sorry, with you. You know, and so you really got to think about other than yourself and yourself. But it's all internal, not external. Forget what you say about you and about your relationship. That means nothing. But if you do the right thing from within, then you may be able to say what you're doing the right thing. And that's when you public. That's when you public with your marriage. I mean, I guess that's when you do this and do that. But then remember, keep in mind that it's not just for the sake of saying I'm in a relationship. Now you got some type of mark or badge. You're nothing. You have absolutely nothing. Do you got a ring?
Taylor, I do have to cut you there because we're down to our last bit of minutes, and I got a few more for tonight. But I want to thank all of you gentlemen for your input. Our Cylon, welcome to the show, because you are a new caller, and I appreciate the support, Larry. Thanks to you, all of you. At the end of the day, I believe if you want a relationship, it's a relationship. There's work to be done. If you are going to cherish people for who they are, you have to know what roles in your life they're going to play. I personally just don't see how you can have more than one person in your life and still have a relationship, or how open and a relationship can go hand in hand. But that is just me. And the end of the day, it's about the choices that you make, not what the world dictates, not what society says of them us, but what you yourself decide to put forth from you and what it is you want other people to believe of you, or what you want to believe of yourself. So until Monday night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing.
I got you.
Praise God.
Hello?
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.